Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 12, we were taught that even though something may not be sin, we are wrong for letting it interfere with our service to God, not giving Him our best in the ministry that He has given to us. Let's continue with that message today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The things that you may be doing may not be wrong, but they are weights because they keep you from your commitment to teach that class and to teach it with all that you have and to give it the best that you can give it. Pursuing holiness includes not only abstaining from sin, but also fleeing from weights that may prevent us from the pursuit of God's holiness. We're not speaking only about standards. Standards in and of themselves are not holiness. But in context of the church family and the pursuit of peace and holiness, standards create an environment conducive to holiness. You see, my friend, standards are not the goal. Christ's likeness is the goal. But if you have this attitude of, we have the liberty to fulfill these various things of the flesh, in other words, you lack standards, you're not going to know that holiness. You're not going to know that Christ's likeness. And that takes us to verse 15. Looking diligently, because, in verse 15 we read, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Looking diligently is a key warning in this verse. The idea is of continual searching throughout one's life. It is one who is warned to ever be on the lookout. That's the idea here. Looking diligently is to always be on the lookout. Now, as a pastor is a watchman, and he must always be on the lookout for his congregation. He must warn of sin. He must warn of false doctrine, for example, Calvinism, and warn his congregation, tell them why it's wrong, and let them know how they try to dress it up and make it look good and make it look right, and yet it's so wrong. So they need to be, as a pastor, has to be a watchman, but yet each person needs to have a walk with God, a personal walk with God, and be a watchman in their own personal life, being very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit acts as kind of a binocular for us to see what is good, perfect, before God, but also that which is unacceptable, that which is not right, and that which is false, and that which is sin. Now, the Greek here about looking diligently has the idea of very intense looking or searching. Why? Why would it be so intent on that? My friend, it's because we have an enemy. We need to get that down. And that enemy seeks to subtly bring things in that will defeat us. That's the idea in Jude verse 4, where you see when Satan uses men who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. By the way, that is what, it actually, when a person is applying liberty, the liberty and the grace of God to the areas of the flesh and freedom to fulfill these lusts of the flesh, they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And Jude 4 says, they crept in unawares. It's the idea they came in the back door. They came in undetected. They came in with the idea of this deceit. They came in by stealth. to try to sow their abominable doctrines among the people of God who are different than they are doctrinally, and have gone into their church to try to corrupt the church in that manner. So again, we need to look diligently, oversee those things, always be on the lookout. The same word is actually used in 1 Peter 5:2, in which the elders are to take the oversight, and that's the same idea there. Also in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where the Apostle Paul warns the pastors that after he, the apostle, left, there'd be those that would come in and seek to scatter the flock and bring in these things. And he told them to ever be on the lookout for that. And he says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, fail is defined as to be left behind in a race, to come late or to come too tardily, to fall short in the end. Now, we must understand that falling from grace does not mean to lose one's salvation. That is not what it means in this verse, in verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. It's not speaking of losing your salvation. Rather, it has to do with a Christian who fails to avail himself of the means of grace made available to him in his Christian life. And one of the great failures in the pulpits and in the personal lives of the believers is discernment. See, that's why pulpits are now bringing the dance into the church, social drinking into the church, irreverence into the church, rock and roll into the church. It's because of a lack of discernment. In the text, we see personal responsibility for each believer to oversee or look diligently. Now, you don't do that in your own strength. You do that through the microscope of the Scriptures with the Holy Spirit being your teacher and your guide. The Christian who neglects these things will fall into sin, and he'll lose in the race of life. He'll lose reward. Not his salvation, his reward. And this kind end up being ashamed at his appearing, saved so as by fire. What I want you to understand is this. Write it down. Liberty allows us to pursue holiness, as we see here in verse 14. Giving into the flesh is to fall from that grace of the pursuit of holiness. Now, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, he says here in verse 15. Now, think about that. The words springing and up are defined as follows. Springing means to become, to increase, to produce, to grow. The word up means a higher place where all can see. In other words, the bitterness is plain and evident to the brethren who surround you. Your character, your conduct, and your conversation, the matter of your life, in other words, will have a direct influence upon the lives of other believers. Now understand, a bitter person is not necessarily one who is depressed and down all the time. They may be people who are fun-loving and complimentary. You may enjoy being around them, but they are down on someone or some ministry of the church. Maybe they're down on authority, regardless of who that authority is. They're just down on authority. And they begin to infect others against that authority or against that ministry or whatever that individual is they're against. Often, it is something they hold against someone or something from an incident of the past. When it springs up, it ends up that many are defiled And you can be guilty of defiling many in God's house. And when you do that, that is an awful, low-down, abominable sin in the sight of God. And you need to understand that. And that's why I'm trying to be plain with you and upfront with you on this thing. You see, too often we get mad at the preacher when he preaches against something in our life, and it might be like bitterness. And we get upset and we think, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's getting too personal. And we begin to attack that kind of preacher. Why, hey, I have a right to go out and do this. I have a right to go out and do that. And that's just his opinion. And you get mad, and then you start putting down the preacher, start putting down the church. You start putting down people that may support the church or the pastor. And you get around, you start talking to people, and you begin sowing discord, which is an abomination. And really the matter is, if you feel like you had the liberty to do it, it shouldn't bother you that people believe another way. I mean, do you get as mad because, for example, Muslims don't even believe in your God? Do you get mad because the Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept Jesus Christ as Almighty God in the flesh, the Word made flesh? You say, well, I don't like it. Well, do you get as mad as you do when the preacher hits your sin? Because really, those doctrines of Christ are much more important than that thing that made you mad. You see, that's the devil at work in your life. Now again, don't miss that this is an issue of holiness and purity of life. It breaks both the peace and the holiness of verse 14, and it troubles you, and it defiles many, as we've seen here in verse 15. And we are warned of a personal responsibility to not allow this to happen in our Christian life. Now that takes us to verses 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10? It tells us that these things from the Old Testament serve as an example. It is oftentimes an example of the pitfalls and the failures that we should avoid as God's people, as saved people who are to reflect the holiness of God. Esau's description is that of a fornicator and a profane person. Fornicator is from the Greek word pornos, from which we get our word pornography. It has the idea, however, of sexual sin of any type, not only premarital sexual relationships.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation for the Bible.